I'm joined today by the one and only Vin Forte.
Oh my God.
Vin, how are you?
Good. What's going on, everybody?
Vin is taking time away from his many podcasts.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, I'm sweating it out in the podcast factory these days.
How's your sports podcast?
That one's going really, really good.
And that's about the sports.
That's about the sports, which no one who listens to this podcast cares about.
Oh, you don't know. No, probably not.
It's like you don't see the metrics. I see the metrics.
And then you're still over at the...
At the old Emilio Sparks Presents Wrestle Rap.
he's got the Walt Disney above the title now?
He does. Well, he's always had that.
Oh, really? I just thought it was WrestleRap.
Yeah, if you look at the logo, it's almost like a weird like Disney Easter egg. Like if you look at the logo, it says Emilio Sparks Presents, like in very tiny letters.
He's presenting WrestleRap.
He's presenting.
You. Okay. Okay. Very good. Well, great to have you. So, Vin, what we want to talk about today, and I think some of our older listeners are going to really love today's episode. Some of our young listeners
are not gonna know what we're even talking about.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about? We're talking about what Vin called cable movie classics. Can you give us an idea of what you meant by this? This was your concept.
Yeah, so basically it's movies that you remember growing up, that, because I think it gets lost today with streaming.
Yeah.
Although I guess like now that would be the equivalent. It's like there's kids growing up now where it's like, oh, yeah, like, I remember, you know, 10 years ago when I was a kid watching blah, blah, blah on Netflix all the time. But
I think the big difference, though, is that there's so much variety streaming, whereas, like, cable,
cable
they would
like
lean
you were
on
locked
things.
In.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like if you had cable, or even not cable, but, like, just, you know, whatever TV you had, like, you would just be beholden to what was on. So it would be like a Sunday afternoon and you'd be flipping through. And these are movies that like you would always see.
Right.
Or like certain types of movies that you would always see that I guess the studios in one way or another like thought they could get more bang from like the cable audience. And some movies, like I have one movie here that is a stone cold classic.
Okay.
That
okay.
like, because a lot of people forget, like some movies get so ingrained in pop culture that we forget that they started out as, like, cable classics.
Wow, yeah. It's like, you know, I love a lot of films, but I don't really rewatch things a lot. Like, I could see something and love it, and maybe if I really want to get a second look at it, I'll go see it again in a theater. But basically, that's sort of it. But there are some movies on this list that I have seen, like, 100 times... And it's only because it was always on, and I'd be like, oh, this is on. All right, I'm watching this again.
And I have a couple ties in my list, just to, like, lump together a couple. Like, there's one or two movies on this list total that I have never seen all the way through.
Wow, interesting.
Because part of a cable classic is you catch, like, 40 minutes at a time.
Right.
Or you, like, see it on, and you're interested enough that you'll watch the remaining, you know, half hour or whatever.
Right.
Even though you've never seen it.
You were getting dressed to go out and meet somebody, but you're like, you know what? I'm just going to sit here and sit on the edge of the bed and finish this and tell my friend I'm on my way when I'm really
exactly.
not.
So we each have 5 picks.
Yes. And I should say, some of these, going to your point, there are some movies on this list that if I were to watch them now on streaming, I could tell you where the commercial break would be.
Right.
I'd be like, that's where the break was.
Because a lot of times, also, they would add in deleted scenes.
Yeah.
To fill time up into a commercial or have, like, a cleaner break.
Right.
So one of the tricks they used to do, which I don't like, but, you know, you wouldn't know it growing up, is they would cut scenes where they think the commercial break should be.
Yeah.
And they would take out like 10 or 15 seconds.
Yeah.
So you'd always see like someone walking out of a scene and there's supposed to be a little more, but on the TV version, it's just them leaving the scene and then goes right into a commercial break.
Right, exactly, exactly.
Like, you know who's the big... It's not a movie. You know who's the biggest fucking culprit of that?
Who?
The Simpsons.
Yeah. They cut those to ribbons.
Like, you don't realize the ones that you see all the time in syndication are not the original version. Like, if you watch it on DVD, that's why you should always make sure you own the thing that you really like.
Right.
Because, like, they cut gags out because in syndication there's not enough time.
Right. Yeah, I've had the experience of watching The Simpsons on, well, now it's on Disney Plus, and being like, thinking I know exactly what it is, and then there's a whole nother joke, and it's like, that whole bit has been cut out from fucking TV. So we both have five. I'd love for you to go first.
Yeah, because this first one's really going to exemplify like what we're talking about here. I'm interested if we actually have any that overlap.
Quite possibly. But, well, we're a little different in age, so that might factor into it.
I tried my criteria is like I tried to have a good mix here. So the first one, Ghostbusters 2.
Yep, it's on my list.
But I think that's also emblematic of, and I put in here Caddyshack 2 as well. And Short Circuit 2. And the main one is really Ghostbusters 2. On Comedy Central.
Every goddamn day.
But what I'm really aiming at this is a lot of times you would get the big movie like Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Or Caddyshack. And then they would do like a shitty sequel like Caddyshack 2 where it's like, oh, we can't get Rodney Dangerfield, so we're going to get Jackie Mason.
Right.
And that would bomb.
Yes.
But then they would throw it on cable and you would just see it over. Like, I think I've seen Caddyshack 2 in pieces more times than I've actually seen the original Caddyshack.
Yeah, I think I might. I've actually never seen Caddyshack 2, but I think I might have. I think I've seen Ghostbusters 2 more than one.
Yeah, no,
even
absolutely.
One is clearly a superior movie, but it's just two. Comedy Central, especially, would play two constantly.
Like, I have vivid memories in my head of just like that pink slime.
Yes.
And like them stealing Baby Oscar.
You remember like even the promos and stuff.
Yeah.
Another one that this isn't on my list, but you're making me think of it. This was another one that was big on Comedy Central when I was younger. Funny Farm.
Yes, where he eats the testicles.
Yes, that's a weird one.
Yeah, that's a weird Chevy Chase movie.
Yeah, it's and that's saying something. Yeah, and you. What's always interesting about cable, right? And again, the kids don't know this, but you know they would sell things hard. So like you as a dumb kid would be like, "Is this some classic I've never heard of? Hey, Dad, have you seen Funny Farm?" And
right.
Your dad would be like, "That movie's fucking terrible." And you'd be like, "Oh no, come! It's presented today. They're playing it at 5 p.m. It's got to be good."
But yeah, they would.
Who's Harry Crumb is coming on, Dad?
That's another one you could throw. That's not on my list, but like, who's Harry Crumb?
It's like the worst stuff from the best people,
right? Like you know, like we're not gonna give you Uncle Buck,
yeah,
but we're gonna give you Armed and Dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I remember. This is so funny. You just unlocked a memory for me. In the late '90s, after American Pie came out. And we were all feeling that Eugene Levy fever. I remember like Comedy Central being like, from American Pie, your favorite dad, Armed and Dangerous. Because that's a fucking movie where what? He's like a rent-a-cop?
Yeah, something like that. A lot of those like bad John Candy movies all real, like they really blend together.
Yeah, oh
like,
yeah.
Like Harry Crumb. What was the other one? It's not, I want to say Disorderlies, but that's the Fat Boys. You know what I'm talking about, though. It's like another, he did like another like detective kind of movie.
Yes. But you know what else that they would show a lot? That horrible movie, Nothing But Trouble.
With the Dick Nose.
With the Dick Nose, yes. It's terrible.
A lot of weird movies that were like very high concept to the point where if you're a kid, if you're a kid and you're watching Nothing But Trouble, you can tell me, you can pay me to like answer like what the movie was actually about.
Oh yeah.
At the end of the day, if my dad walked in the room after it ended and like grabbed me by the neck and was like, "What was Nothing But Trouble about?" I'd be like, "Ah, they're in a weird house and Then there was a death roller coaster.
Two weird big babies.
Yeah, there were two giant babies, and Demi Moore was in it. And Tupac Shakur showed up at one point.
And, what's his fucking name? He's passed away now. Oh, he's like such a great character actor. What was his name? He's in so many good things. I'm going to find it right now. Taylor Negron. Yes, as like a weird dude.
And there were just a lot of people who were just like, this is a weird guy in this movie.
Yeah. But, you know, that one of the interesting things about consumption as a child is that you're building your taste, so you don't really have taste.
Well, specifically around that time, too, that was a ripe period for comedy legends that were, like, on the downturn.
Yeah.
So, like, you would get, like, between, I guess, like, 1988... and, like, the early 90s, you would get all these movies where it's like, Steve Martin was in this?
Yeah.
Like, Dan Aykroyd was in this?
Oh,
like,
that's another one.
The Man with Two Brains? What?
What, like, about, this is actually a great movie, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. That was shown a lot on cable. And it would do this thing to the films, which is, you know, films are edited. A good film is edited to have a flow. But these cable channels would make such a meal out of movies where they would stretch it to like 3 hours so you could just have fucking 10-minute breaks of ads. So, like, you'd be like, you'd go and then you'd take a shower and, like, eat lunch and you come back and we'd still be watching fucking Nothing But Trouble. And it's like, this movie is forever long.
Well, yeah, because a lot of cable channels especially would pad it out, but they wouldn't just pad it out with commercials. They would pad it out with, like, host segments.
Yeah.
And we're not talking, like, oh, goofy Mystery Science Theater or making fun of them. Like, it would be like
Jimmy,
like,
remember, Pardo cooking a meal. Dinner.
Yeah, I was just giving dinner in a movie.
Yeah.
Jimmy, I wish it was Jimmy Pardo. It was the other guy, the depressed guy.
But Jimmy Pardo did a show like that. Was that something Maybe. With Friends? It was basically very similar concept. It was big in the 90s.
Yeah, dinner and a movie on TBS.
Yeah.
The peas and cornbread song.
Yeah. So they'd show a movie and then they'd
cook a meal based on the movie just to pad out.
Just
the
in a pun way, really. Like, not really based on the movie. It would just be like,
yeah, the salmon in Seattle. It's,
yeah, exactly. Like, that's exactly what it would be. And it'd be like, who is this for?
Yeah. Exactly.
Who is this for?
You, our back of our main dish, you've got meal.
Ghostbusters 2, good pick. That one was also on my list, so I don't have to say it. This one's actually a good movie, perhaps even, some might say, the best movie ever, Jaws on TNT.
Ooh.
Followed by Jaws 2.
I was just going to say, if you're bringing up Jaws, there's got to be a Jaws marathon going on.
You fucking bet. And I think I saw it. Well, actually, I have an early memory of seeing it on VHS and just being terrified of it. But when I first saw it, like, as a person with a brain, it was on TNT. And, like, I still, this is the one where I could still, like, I know, like that weird, like, lull that happens in the movie after the whole ordeal with the yellow barrels.
Oh, yeah, time to stretch out some commercials.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, and you see, like, Quint, like, on the edge of the thing, like, just sort of balancing there, and, like, the sun's going down. It's like commercial.
Exactly. Like, see, in a movie, when you're in the theater, that scene, like, flows right into another scene and goes right into another scene.
Right. It goes right to the drinking scene.
Right. But when you're watching on cable, it's like, okay, let me go to the bathroom.
Right, exactly.
Like, let me get out of here. Let me grab a drink.
Exactly. Commercials are so not a part of things now. In a way,
yeah.
At least not in the same way. Whereas when you were a kid, you could, like, you remember commercials. Do you remember the Jaws on the TNT?
Yeah, again, because they would do the marathon. It wouldn't just be Jaws. It would be like, well, we'll get you in the door with Jaws, but you're gonna stick around for Jaws 4 with Michael Caine.
Right. They'd always have, like, not the rights to all of them. It would be like Jaws and at 2:30, Jaws 2, and that 4, Jaws the Revenge.
Yeah.
Or what happened to 3?
Or,
like, no, Sci-Fi Channel owns 3.
Yeah, like, Sci-Fi Channel owns 3. And 3 always made me laugh because it was supposed to be in 3D.
Yeah.
And, like, so clearly it was supposed to be in 3D because when they did show it on cable, the shark, the big scene where the shark breaks through the glass.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's literally like someone grabbing a still toy of a shark and just, like, slowly moving it towards the camera.
Yeah, you've maybe seen a GIF of it somewhere.
It's ridiculous.
It's so, yeah.
Zero effort went into it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge drop after Jaws 1. But if we are looking at the other three, and by God, we are right now, 3's got to be the worst, right?
3's the worst, because 4 at least attempts to... Yeah, and 4 at least, like, has a plot.
I mean, 4 is stupid as all hell, but there's things happening. Whereas 3 is, like, it's boring, and you're like, why are they at SeaWorld? How are we related to the characters I know? And then, basically, what you just said happens. But it's not...
Jaws 3 is so disconnected from the other ones. It's so disconnected from even Jaws 4.
Yeah.
Because at least Jaws 4 is like, oh, the shark is... It's like Jurassic Park 3 where it's like, oh, the sharks are smart now.
And... Yeah, the shark's got a personal vendetta against the Brody family. It's going after the wife now. The shark will follow you to the Caribbean.
Oh, what happened to Brody? Is he in this movie? No, he died from a fear of sharks.
Yeah, he died from shark-related stress. But 2, I'd actually say is, look, it's not great, but it's a little underrated because I think 2 actually works as like a weird slasher movie because it's all teenagers in 2. And then Chief Brody's kind of like the Samuel Loomis coming in at the end, be like, ah! And then the ride is oddly based on 2.
Yeah, the ride. Oh, God.
Yeah, the ride. I wrote a whole book about the ride, which is... so weird. There were 2 versions of the ride. One that sounded terrifying but like worked 10% of the time, and then they completely gutted it and started again, and then you've got the version that is still going now in Japan.
Okay.
Universal Japan. You want to go on the Jaws ride? You got to go to Japan. And why are you there? Going to the Mario Maryland. They're building a Donkey Kong Country Land.
Oh, thank God.
I can't wait to go to Japan just for that. Tell me, what else you got?
Okay. So, let me see what my... number 2 on my list is
Jaws the Revenge. The Shark's Revenge.
It's maybe a little on the nose, but if you live through it, you know. The Cable Guy.
The Cable Guy, yes. That was shown a lot.
That was like the epitome of specifically HBO got the rights to a movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? This didn't do so hot in the theater. But by God, it's got a star in it, and we're going to push the fuck out of it.
HBO, I think they kind of still do it. I might be wrong, but I think they still do it. They would premiere a movie on a Saturday night. Like, that was the big night.
Yeah.
I guess now they still do it, but it doesn't mean anything. But then, like, you'd be like, you know, when I was a kid, you'd be like, oh my God, it would be Saturday. You'd be like, what's going on? What's happening Saturday? But then it would play again at like 12, and then like basically for the next 2 months, it would just play on and off.
The rights to it. We're gonna drive it right into the ground.
You would catch it. I mean, another cable classic, and this one was actually made for cable, is The Late Shift. The story about Jay Leno and David Letterman. Like that was a made for HBO movie, and God, that was on so much HBO.
Yeah,
I've seen that stupid movie, you know, like 50 times.
Yeah, I still have that image in my head, like Kathy Bates as the controlling manager of Jay Leno.
Yeah, and
Jay Leno hiding in the closet.
Yeah, he grabs the picture from her. You want to break this? Huh? You want to break this?
Want to break this too? Huh?
Huh? Oh boy, have you seen Pam and Tommy on Hulu?
No.
The guy they got playing Leno is not very good, but he's doing it. He's doing Leno.
Do you remember when, and now we're going way off track, but I don't care.
Yeah, sure.
I'm fine, I'll just say it. When the Michael Jackson trial was going on.
Yep.
But the second Michael Jackson trial.
Yes.
Do you remember what the E! Network did?
Yes, I do.
Okay. What the E! Network did, for those who don't know, is every night they would do a reenactment of that day's testimony from the Michael Jackson trial.
Based on the transcript.
Based on the transcript. But sometimes there would be like celebrities doing testimony, and they would get other celebrities to play those celebrities.
Yeah.
Like Jay Leno in real life testified at the Michael Jackson trial.
He did?
Yes, because part of the trial was that, like, and this was kind of like one of the smoking guns for the Jackson side, is that the parents who were accusing him of doing what he did, they also had gone to Jay Leno and was like, oh, my kid wants to meet you. He's a big Leno fan.
Yeah.
And the Jacksons case was like, what kid wants to meet Jay Leno? Like, you're dying of cancer. Like, what's your last way? Oh, I want to meet Jay Leno.
Yeah.
But so Jay Leno was at the trial, and that night they got Jimmy Kimmel to dress up in fake makeup and play Jay Leno.
Fantastic.
It's like the whole thing was just a big farce. Like
that's awesome.
Wow. Yeah. What a weird time, huh?
So yeah, the cable guy.
It's transcript. Oh yeah, cable guy. So yeah,
very meta movie.
Yeah, because it's about, it has a very 90s message about, like, there's literally an on the nose scene where the TV turns off and then a guy reaches for a book and opens it. That
yeah,
that scene literally happens in the movie.
Well, also don't forget, directed by Ben Stiller.
Yes, actually one of his better directorial.
So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not a lot. There's Singles. There's that. There's Zoolander 1 and 2, and then there's Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
So out of that, I like 2. You guess which 2 I like. Yeah, Cable Guy is.
It's
yeah.
not a bad. It's not even a bad movie.
Oh,
either.
I love
like,
it. I recently mentioned it on our underrated 90s comedies episode. Even as a kid, I liked it. Like I knew.
Well, I loved it as a kid.
Yeah, I knew that my Ace Ventura expectations were not being met, but I also knew like this is weird and funny, and I like this.
Yeah. And it's definitely, like, with adult eyes, it's definitely way darker. It's like a cable guy. Jim Carrey plays a cable guy who goes to install cable for Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
And then basically creates a parasocial relationship.
Yeah.
Where he's like, he get you free cable. And that opens this whole door to, like, oh, well, yeah, I gave you this free cable. Why can't you, let's hang out now.
Wait, let's explain that to the kids who listen. So you used to have, you ask your grandparents about cable. You might have cable for free because it came with your internet, but it used to be in the 90s, right, that the cable guy would come and install the cable box, give you the remote and everything, but what would often happen is if you would slip the guy, like a 50 or a 100, the guy would, like, whatever governor was on the thing that would keep you from getting all the channels, they would just take that off.
Yeah.
So basically, even though you're not paying for HBO and Showtime and all the pay-per-views and everything, they would go, all right, thanks for the $50 under the table, and boop, now you have everything. And we'd all had that friend.
Yeah.
Who had, and then you'd go over to his house and watch porn, because it
right, because then all the, because the real key wasn't even that, oh, this guy now had HBO and Showtime. It was the, when you get all access, you unlock all the pay-per-views.
Right. So you get new movies and stuff like
you,
that.
You'd go over and watch all the wrestling pay-per-views.
Yes, like. Yes, yes. So as a way of sort of leveraging a friendship, Jim Carrey
gives this guy free cable.
Yeah. He gives then, free cable to...
And then, like, he gives it to Matthew Broderick.
Right.
And then basically makes his life spiral out of control, has him accidentally, like, cheat on his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Ruins his life. Then, like, the end of the movie's so weird now.
Yeah.
Like, if you, like rethink about it. The movie ends... So that's how the movie, like, starts and what the crux of it is.
Yeah.
The movie ends with them on top of a fucking satellite dish.
Again, on the nose.
Yeah.
So on the nose.
And, like, fighting. And then this guy, like... Oh, they get into a fight, and then... what is really the message of the movie?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because well, now that I'm really, like, thinking
about
it...
you feel bad for him because you realize he had no childhood? I think it's about, like, don't watch TV.
But, like, that's the only message I get of it. It's
but
like,
we
oh, this
watched
guy had
it
a,
on TV, so...
Right, like, this guy had a screwed-up childhood.
Yeah.
And that was it?
Yeah.
Like, he attempts to commit suicide but fails.
Yeah.
And you never learn his name...
Right, he's always just the cable guy.
And then he, like, makes up a fake name.
Yeah.
Which is Chip Douglas, which he learns from My Three Sons.
All right. So my next one, this was an HBO one. And this could just speak to my age and when I was watching stuff, but Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yes, I would say that's up there.
That was on HBO a lot. And HBO used to have, like, a behind-the-scenes show. This was back before the internet. So, like, it was very exciting for movie fans to see, like, little shows that were, like... behind the scenes, it would show you. It would show them filming things. It would show interviews with the director and the actors.
Yeah.
And I think what was it called? Was it called Behind the Scenes? It was something
it was,
similar
it was
like
something
that.
Something like HBO
Insider.
Yeah.
And they did it for a bunch of movies. I remember the one.
Like a lot of channels did. Comedy Central did it for comedy.
Yes, they
like,
did. Yeah, yeah. So
MTV
they,
did one.
Yeah, some of these would be 15 minutes, not that long, and. HBO would always show the behind the scenes
right
for
the
Robin
movie.
Hood. Yeah, and then Robin Hood. And I've seen them both in tandem so many times.
In my mind, you can't convince me that Robin Hood Men in Tights is not like upper tier Mel Brooks.
Have you? When was the last time you watched it?
I would say, like, realistically, all the way through, 10 years.
But
as a kid, you couldn't convince. Like, I'm sure if I watched it now,
well, as
I would have thoughts.
Oh, yeah. Well, as a kid, my two favorite of his were probably his two worst. My Spaceballs and Robin Hood Men in Tights. Like, you know, like, as a kid, I remember liking Blazing Saddles. But, you know, like, racial satire doesn't do anything for a kid. You're
right,
not like...
No, I will say, around that same time, even as a kid, did not like Dracula Dead and Loving It.
Yeah, I remember being disappointed with Dracula Dead and Loving It. I like it more now.
Yeah.
Because it's just, like, it's good in little YouTube chunks.
Right, like, there's zero expectations for it.
Right. It doesn't flow at all. It's just a bunch of sketches sewn together, so as a movie, it doesn't work. But if you're watching just on YouTube, like, just watch the scene where Mel Brooks as Van Helsing meets Leslie Nielsen as Dracula. See, it feels like this should be great.
Right. Well, that was the thing. It feels like, it's like, oh my God, I love Leslie Nielsen.
Right.
Love Mel Brooks. Like, this should be amazing.
And after Young Frankenstein, which is, like, such an amazing pastiche. Like, he used the same sets and cameras. And it's like, none of that craftsmanship is in the Dracula movie. It just looks shitty. It just looks like a three-camera sitcom or something.
No, but Robin Hood, great cast.
Yes, yes. Cary Elwes,
Patrick Stewart.
Yes, yes. Oh my God,
Tracy Ullman.
Tracy Ullman's so good in it. Latrain, you changed your name to Latrain? Yeah, it used to be Shithouse.
Yeah.
And then the great Richard Lewis as
the Sheriff of Rottingham.
No, the sheriff, not sheriff, the
oh, the king.
Yeah,
yes.
the brother, the one who's holding the throne.
Yeah. He's just, like, so apathetic in Richard Lewis-y.
Yeah, one of my favorite check pleases. Robin Hood comes in with the fucking deer, and he goes, check, please. Brilliant. Yeah, it's so good.
Young Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, holy shit. He was very young in that. He might have been, like, 18 or something.
Yeah, as did he play Blinken? Was he the blind guy?
No, that was, I don't know who played Blinken. He was like,
I know Dave Chappelle has that one line.
He was Achoo.
Yes.
Because he would say Achoo and then everyone would say, God bless you.
Yeah.
So stupid.
I just remember he had that one line where
Malcolm X parody?
No, where the guy's on the horse upside down. He's like, you're really starting to piss me off. And he's like, if I was on a horse like that, I'd be the one worried about getting pissed off.
Yeah, I watched it, I don't know how long ago, but I was like, okay, this is not doing it for me.
It really is, it's just really silly.
Yeah, and you got, like, Home Alone references, like the kid, and it's just like, oh boy, what is happening in this movie? Amy Aspect as Maid Marian.
Yeah.
She was great. I was so in love with her as a kid. She was the wife of
John Ritter.
John Ritter. Right, and she was also in both Problem Child movies as two different characters.
That's right.
But me as a kid, I did not even realize it was two different characters.
No.
Robin Hood Men in Tights from 1993. Yeah, the Sheriff of Rottingham was Roger Rees.
Okay.
Yeah, Richard Lewis was Prince John. Yeah, Dave Chappelle was Achoo. His father, the father in the movie, Isaac Hayes, was a sneeze. Tracy Ullman is Latrine.
Dom DeLuise
is Dom Giovanni. It's like a weird Godfather bit in it. Yeah.
Have you seen the season of Curb?
No. Is it good?
It's very good. Tracy Ullman's in it.
Oh yeah, I've heard. Yeah, I heard that.
And she fucking steals the show.
Good for her. She bounced back from doing blackface in the '90s. No, I always liked her. I even like the original Tracy Ullman show where The Simpsons came from, and yeah. Tracy Takes On where she did blackface.
Then she, but like,
and her
Tracy
song, her
takes
hit song.
On, oh, that's right.
They don't know about
they
us.
Don't know about us.
Paul McCartney in the video.
But Tracy Ullman's weird because she had Tracy Takes On, which as a kid felt like, oh, this is the cool like adult comedy show that's on HBO. But then like she kept doing different versions of that, but not on HBO.
Yeah, she basically was like, I have five characters I do.
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep on doing them forever. What's your next one?
Okay, so this is the one that you wouldn't expect.
Okay.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Okay, I see it. I remember that. Yes. Yes.
Because you would always see it on...
Oh, boy, would they stretch it out. It would run like 5 hours.
Yeah, and that's a swift movie. Like, it's not a...
Yeah.
It's very well-paced.
Well, it takes its time to get to the factory.
Once you get to the factory, it goes...
Snappy.
Yeah.
But, like, when you're dealing with, like...
Grandpa Joe and...
Well, and the song the mom sings...
Oh, that's the worst part of the movie.
That's the worst part.
And then the whole conundrum of, like, oh, we're all bedridden, but the second I get a chance to go to a chocolate factory...
Fucking lazy poor people. Yeah, and fucking...
But people forget, like, that movie was a bomb. Like, it did not make money. And then through partly VHS, but a lot of being an early cable hit. And, like, by the time the 90s came around, it was on not just, like, the HBOs of the world, but, like, you would see it just... everywhere.
You'd see it on the Turner channels, TBS, TNT.
You'd see it on the Turner channels, but then you would see it on like the Family Channel. You would see it on. You would see it on.
Yes.
Like regular TV during certain times of the year, like around the holidays, it would pop up places.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, because it was just this really good family movie that like you could slip in kind of anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, it is fantastic. It's an interesting movie. That has a lot going on, but then the thing that holds it all together is an incredible performance in the center of it. Like Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka is incredible.
It's one of the like singular performances in cinema.
Yeah, it really is. It's absolutely his greatest performance, and no one else could do it because it's a perfect amount of charm and menace and kind-heartedness, but also
and him just like
scary.
Bringing his own thing to it. Because like if you. Because, like, I watched that movie as a kid and then read the book.
Yeah.
And the book is, like, it's not radically different, but it's, like, different enough in tone where it's, like, it becomes very apparent even as a kid. Like, oh, they added something to this movie.
Yeah.
And what they added is, like, Gene Wilder. Like, so much of that is just him.
One part that, like, still makes me laugh out loud whenever I see it, and it had to have been an improv, is there's a part where they're dragging away one of the children. And
no, stop, don't.
No, not that one. It's an Oompa Loompa, like, is, like, whispers something in his ear, and Gene Wilder goes, no, I won't hold you responsible.
I love that. I love that. He's so great at those little moments in that film.
Right. Like
was it? No, I won't hold you responsible.
Yeah, like, he's Willy Wonka. He's this gregarious guy, but he will have children killed.
Right. Like, when he's like, oh, I think, if he's lucky, I think the furnace is turned on Tuesdays.
Yeah, that one goes to the incinerator.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but no, all that stuff is great. Oh, no, stop.
Yeah, stop, no, come back, please.
Yeah, and he's so, the famous scene at the end, he's so scary in that. He goes from scary to loving on a dime, and you believe it. You know, when he's screaming, like, you lose. Like, it's like, it's scary and heartbreaking.
And honestly, the one of the key things about that movie that we kind of just touched on is that they do something that is very hard to do, which is... they show don't tell.
Yeah.
But they're all while they're showing you, they're not telling you the important information.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is they'll tell you or they'll show you, oh, this fat kid is getting shoved into a pipe that's going to go to an incinerator. And you see that.
Yeah.
But then Veruca Salt's going to get stretched out.
Yes.
But then they don't actually show you the horrific part of, like, well, what happens after? Which is a big mistake that the 2006 movie did.
I've honestly never seen it.
You're better off.
I've never heard anyone argue me on that point. It seems to be universally reviled.
It's, you know what it is? It's worth exactly one watch. Just to get it out of the way. Just to, like, form your own opinion on it.
Okay.
But it's just... And it is different enough, but it also, again, it reveals too much lore. Like, right when the Willy Wonka movie ends with them, like, flying out in the over the city, in the 2006 movie, there's still, like, a half hour left.
Oh, boy.
And that half hour involves Charlie helping Willy Wonka reunite with his dentist father, who's played by...
Yes, I've heard of this.
Count Dooku.
Yeah, Christopher Lee. Yeah. Yeah, I heard, I've had this explained to me. There's this whole like backstory they added.
Yeah.
Yeah, you needed that, I guess. And Deep Roy.
Deep Roy is all the
Oompa
Loompas.
Yeah. So this one's a little bit of a cheat, but I can narrow it down to one film. This was on Saturday night's Monster Vision with Joe Bob Briggs, and which was a Joe Bob Briggs, who still does stuff on Shudder, by the way.
Yeah.
Would host usually a bad horror movie, which the worse it was, the better it is, because in between the commercials, he would like make fun of it.
Yeah.
If you tell me I got to narrow it down, I'll say Creepshow. They did Creepshow a lot. And
yes,
they did. They did Maximum Overdrive a lot.
Ooh, yeah, a lot of the bad Stephen King movies would pop up.
And he would, you know, it's not like Mystery Science Theater where they would actually, like, talk over the text. He would play the movie, but it would be like, it would begin with Joe Bob Briggs. And he was like, he was a weird persona because his persona was like a cowboy. But he also was like, had this insane film knowledge. And he would like go on these weird rants about like productions of movies. And then he would be like, look in this next scene, look for this. And he'd like point out some random stupid thing for you to look for.
Yeah, it's almost like the Red Letter Media, like Mr. Plinkett stuff.
Yes, it's a lot like that.
Where it's like, where he'll review a Star Trek movie, Mr. Plinkett will be like, oh, I'm just a simple man, a common man.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you look at the trajectory of the Starfleet, and you just go into this like really insane plot hole.
And when something crazy would happen, when it would come back, the interstitial would be like, wow, right? Didn't I tell you? Yeah, and it was Monster Vision on, I think it was TNT.
It was TBS or TNT.
One of the Turners, yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he would sometimes show good things. I remember seeing Carrie on there a bunch.
Yeah, they would show good. It was just a general, like...
But he had more shit to say about the bad ones.
Yeah, like, that's where they would just throw their horror movies.
Yeah, it's like, again, I don't know if our younger listeners know about these things. Like, Elvira. Yeah, Elvira's kind of making a comeback now. Like, she did something on Shudder, and then I think she did something also on Netflix. But it's like, when it's streaming, you have to choose to play her interstitial.
Right.
So it's like, no. But like,
I mean, good for her. She's still looking...
A woman who's 70, she looks fantastic.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And she's still funny. She's done the same bit for like 40 years.
Something about these horror women, like, they're just all gorgeous.
Yeah.
Still into their 60s and 70s.
Right, right.
Her, Barbara Crampton, still looks amazing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Jennifer Tilly in the new Chucky series still looks amazing.
Yeah. Adrian Barbeau. I saw her recently in something new. She still looks good.
Yeah.
She's in Creepshow, the first Creepshow, playing the bitch wife who gets eaten by a monster. Yeah, it was, it would elevate it. Like, it would make it feel like a party, even if you were alone. I remember, like, in high school, I had a lot of sleepovers. Like, not like little kid sleepovers, but it would be like, oh, my cousin or my best friend. Like, it's Friday night. Yeah. Mom and dad don't care. We're, you know, just stay over tonight. We'll watch movies, whatever. And, like, I remember, like, my cousin staying over a lot and, like, oh, we're going to watch Monster Vision. Oh, we're going to make Hot Pockets. It's going to be the fucking best. You know, it would elevate it. It would elevate it to a level above the movie.
Oh, yeah, because you're just, it's just added value. It's the same thing as Elvira, same thing as Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah.
Like, nothing was better than when you would see a Mystery Science Theater movie coming up and you just had that feeling that, like, the movie is going to be really campy and, like, they're just going to hit out. Like, you could sense when they were about to hit out of the park.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There are some films that I've only seen in that context, like Mac and Me. Because like, why even watch it without the Mystery Science Theater? Like, if I want to get it, let me just make it somewhat enjoyable for myself.
Right.
You know what it is, kids? I don't know why I'm making this whole episode about the kids, but you know what it is, kids? People, you used to not have people talking about things. You didn't have a million podcasts. You didn't have a million blogs. You didn't have all of this insider shit. You didn't have reaction shows. You know, like, when
no
I was
reaction
like,
videos, no YouTube.
Right, like, so there was like, none of that fan culture of, like, constant, like, we're all consuming and talking to each other. Like, to have, like, Joe Bob Briggs be like, hey, this is a bad movie, and I'm going to explain to you why there's value in this bad movie, and let's make fun of the things in it. It was like he's talking to you. We're talking about a movie. That was so rare and exciting.
And it was stuff that you never would have seen. Like, you never would have come across it otherwise.
Oh, right.
Especially at Mystery Science Theater. Like...
Oh, yeah.
You would never in a million years have unearthed Manos the Hands of Fate.
No, right, because it's unbearable. I mean, it's some of those are not watchable at all.
No, that, I mean, that's the other thing. It's like some Mystery Science Theaters are unwatchable, like, even with the commentary.
Right, but like, yeah, and even they'll admit, like, a bad movie can sometimes be so bad it tanks everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What's, what do you got left? How many you have left?
One I have or... two left.
Okay.
My next one, should I do the boring one or should I, I'll save the big guns for last.
Oh, okay.
First Wives Club.
Okay. Okay.
And that's more indicative of a type of movie that you don't see get a lot of play anymore, which is this is a comedy primarily directed at women, but more so the comedy that is for like older middle-aged people.
Yeah.
Where it's like that, The Birdcage, I think of.
Yeah.
Sour Grapes.
Well, it all speaks to the like moralization of all cinema.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're not even making these things anymore.
No, like you, like unless it's like a movie that comes out and they'll really play up the fact that like, oh, we're middle-aged women in this movie. Because a lot of times they just don't, those movies just don't exist for people anymore.
Right, right.
But back in the 90s, you had these movies that would show up on cable.
Right.
And in the same way that, like, we would have a monster movie night, your parents and grandparents would have, like, your aunt and uncle over for Edamame's Cake.
Yeah!
And they would, like, be like, oh, First Wives Club is on HBO. Let's watch that.
Let's do it. Yeah.
And then,
Coffee.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll get some coffee. We'll put some coffee on the boil.
That
and
sounds
then,
great to me.
Yeah, and then we'll watch First Wives Club, and then maybe stick around for a unwind with this Robert Klein special.
Yeah. Oh, what's our next? Our list. We gotta go home.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you can keep
for some reason,
cake.
Robert Klein had a million specials on HBO.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he wasn't nearly as funny as any other comic who was on HBO.
Yeah. Yeah. First Wives Club. Yeah, it's. You know, there's just, there aren't really those mid-range budget movies anymore.
Right.
And we should say, back in this period, sometimes the budget of a film would come from a cable deal. Like while you're making the film, as you're putting together the budget to produce the film, you make a deal ahead of time with, like, HBO, and you get that money, and that's how you help make the movie,
right?
And then HBO will play it 900 times.
No, absolutely. And again, like, you don't see, like, it would be a real risk now to do that kind of a movie and be like, oh, this is going to be our big hit for the next month. But back then it was like, yeah, First Wives Club, big hit. Sleepless in Seattle, big hit. You've Got Mail, big hit.
Right.
Like, these were all like big movies, maybe not blockbuster movies, but like, they would capture an audience.
Right. That's why I think it's so funny when you see, like, Glenn Close in Guardians of the Galaxy. Or, like, right. Annette Bening in Captain Marvel. Not that they're bad or anything, but it's like, you could tell they would rather be doing anything else, but they're just trying to pay the bills still.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, oh, I gotta do a fucking super, all right. Okay, I guess I used to star in dramas, but I guess I'll be in a superhero movie now as a fucking fourth banana. You gotta do something, I guess.
God, Annette Bening.
Yeah.
Whenever I think of her, I just think of her cameo in The Sopranos.
In The Dream, in where she's herself.
Yeah, where she's herself.
Okay, so here's my last one, and then you can give your last one. Rocky 1 through 4.
Okay.
Now, talk about a marathon. Rocky, they never played one. They always played all four. And even when 5 was out, they must have not owned 5. I remember 1, 2, 3, and 4 a lot. And 5
would be like it was like getting a rare Pokemon card. Like,
right.
You would really have to catch 5.
You're right. But 1 and boy, you know, what a day it was. Like, you turn on cable and, oh shit, Rocky 1 is on. You don't even have to check. You know Rocky 2's coming up next, followed by 3 and 4. This is the whole day. This is the whole Sunday. Your whole Sunday's planned now.
And then it's funny, cuz even if they didn't do the marathon, You would, logic would dictate, okay, you're going to see Rocky 1.
Yeah.
No. You're going to see Rocky 4 and like it.
Yeah.
Like, Rocky 4 was the one that they played all the time.
Right. I would say, going to what you were saying about Willy Wonka, I'm sure Rocky 4 made money, but you know, this generation now that really loves Rocky IV, it's probably from Cable.
Yeah.
You know?
And there's nothing to Rocky IV. Like, it's literally just Rocky beats the Iron Curtain.
Right. It's he at this point, he's just a G.I. Joe. He's just a superhero. None of the pathos of the original movie is in it.
Did you see he Stallone personally recut Rocky IV?
Yes, he did like the Godfather 3 coda, but with Rocky IV. I haven't seen it yet.
Apparently, it's some people are saying it doesn't make that big of a difference. Other people are like swearing by it because he did this whole. There's this really interesting behind the scenes that he did that he just uploaded to YouTube, where it's like an hour of him going through each cut that he's making and explaining why like he's doing what he's doing.
I know he took the robot out.
He took the robot out.
Thank God.
He added in scenes that weren't in the original cut, and he completely changed the tone of the fight.
Oh, really?
Apparently. Like, he makes it less obvious that, like, Rocky's gonna win.
Yeah, okay. Ah, God, I actually really want to see it. Yeah. I want to see his version of 4. Although he was the director of 4, so I don't know. I don't know if that wasn't his vision then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I mean, that's probably why, uncritically, I can say I do like them all. Like, yeah. I look at 1, and 1's a genuinely good drama. And then 2 is like kind of a drama, but also not. 2 yeah. just, and also it's like it's made so quickly after, it just feels like more Rocky 1. It feels like Rocky 1 appendix. And yeah. then like 3 is like, we're in the 80s. He's huge all of a sudden. You got Clubber Lang. You got Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah, Thunder Lips.
You got, oh my God. It's just bananas. And then 4 is just more banana time.
Yeah, and then 5 is like, no one likes 5.
Yeah, yeah. I have a soft spot in my heart for 5. But 5 works on paper more than it does.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But then, like, the Creed movies came out.
Yes.
And those are actually really good.
And I really like Rocky Balboa.
Oh, yeah, it's right. Mason Dixon.
Yeah, the 6th one. Yeah. Creed 2 was okay. It wasn't great, but it was all right.
It's interesting, like, the Stallone movies that came like way later that were part of those franchises, like Rocky Balboa, John Rambo.
I like John Rambo, but then the one that just came out, Last Blood, oh, was that bad. And yeah. so xenophobic. It seemed
very xenophobic. It was like we were going right back to like, oh, the Taliban's kidnapped your
son. But it's like these Mexicans, all they want to do is traffic. Like, imagine how xenophobic Taken is, but we're Rambo into that. So it's like, oh, these Mexicans, you know, all they want to do is steal your white women and traffic them.
But it's funny because John Rambo, which came out 10 years ago, was actually really good.
Yeah, that one was awesome.
Yeah, that was basically like he helps out a bunch of missionaries.
In Burma, yeah.
In Burma, and like the missionaries, like, no, we want to do missionary things, and they don't understand it. Like, no, this is a hostage. Like, you're gonna get yourself killed.
Yeah, you'd have Rocky.
You have a Rocky Marathon.
Rocky Marathon. Even that's a thing where I wonder if the kids understand.
Yeah.
Right. You know how you binge things, kids? You know how you binge things? This is like binging, but the programming does it for you. The television does it for you, and you just sit and you watch it all day.
Yeah, and there's commercials.
Yeah. My favorite, though, of all time, this is off topic, but my favorite of all time was the Beavis and Butthead. What do they call those? The Butt-a-thons or something? It was something like, it would be like 3 hours of Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, yeah.
On like,
I remember that. I forget. Maybe it was just called like a Beavis and Butt-a-thon. I know they're coming out of a new movie on Paramount Plus. About 20 years too late, but also there was a movie.
Yeah, there certainly was.
Which was actually not that bad, if I recall, if memory serves.
So what's the last one you have, sir?
Okay, so the last one I have is a 3-for-1. Save the best for last.
Oh, okay.
So what I have, kind of be a whole genre.
All right.
It is Johnny Mnemonic.
Okay.
The Lawnmower Man.
Okay.
And Hackers.
Johnny Mnemonic, I don't think I remember being... I remember the Lawnmower Man being on cable a bunch.
That was a weird movie that used a lot of footage from the Mind's Eye VHS tapes.
Yeah.
What do you remember about the Lawnmower Man?
Pierce Brosnan, bad CG.
Do you remember the weird CGI sex scene?
No.
Okay. I have it pulled up if you want to do a... live react, I can send it to you.
I do remember the circumstances of this movie, which is they took the name from a short story by Stephen King.
It had nothing to do with it.
Right, and King ended up suing them for it because he's like, I want you to take my name off of this.
Oh, you bet. You bet he did.
Yeah.
So
a little live reaction. Let's see. Would this scene be also on cable, or would this scene be
I think it would be on cable. There's nothing.
Oh, it's not like wild.
It's wild, but it's not. There's no human nudity.
This is the weird time between Tron and The Matrix when it was just like virtual reality, man.
Yeah.
Okay, putting on the headset. Two people, impossibly blonde, both man and woman. I think that's the Riddler's house from Batman Forever. Whoa, virtual reality. It's like a Capri Sun commercial. It's so funny how far we've grown, because like this was mind-blowing when it was the only thing you've ever seen like it.
Right.
What the hell?
Yeah, doesn't this get you hard?
I'm going to start doing it, jerking it right now. Imagine
two Capri Sun creatures, yeah, like melting together.
It's like a screensaver.
I think this came with Windows 95.
And there's like a weird like...
They're going through the Doctor Who portal.
Yeah, yes. They're going through the time vortex. I don't know why she needs to be on a gyroscope on the outside to be moving and stuff.
Now they're a dragonfly.
They became a dragonfly. That's when you know the sex is good.
Yeah.
When you guys together become a dragonfly. And now they're people again. They're unforming. It's funny. It doesn't look like...
She's spinning around.
Doesn't look like sex is involved in this, really.
Oh, no. She's...
Oh, what? Uh-oh. And he's becoming a giant anus? What is that? A big monster? He's a big anus monster. He just pooped on her. This is erotic. Well,
she's... Oh.
This is terrible. Oh, they just used the same shot three times. So, this was not an experience for me. Tell me about this on cable, please.
Basically, that scene encapsulates what all three of those movies have in common.
Sure, yeah.
Which is bad CGI.
Yeah.
Trying to predict the cyberpunk future that never happened.
Yes.
And aesthetic with a capital A.
Yeah, yes.
Like, all three of these movies, like, Lawnmower Man is basically about getting too deep into, like, someone bought an Oculus and got way too into it.
Yes.
Giant Mnemonic is probably the best of the three.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like a proto-Matrix, where basically information is stored and transferred via human brains now. So, like, information is too dangerous to be couriered by, like, oh, I can't mail a letter via UPS. Right. You gotta hire Keanu Reeves to store up to a whopping 80 megabytes of data.
Whoa.
In his head. And he'll get the information to you through cyberspace.
All right.
Though I will say Giant Mnemonic is worth it for two things. One, I want you to go to Google. I'm sorry I'm giving you so much homework. And look up Johnny Mnemonic Dolphin.
This is like a Carson bit. Johnny Mnemonic Dolphin. What's this dolphin?
So eventually, at some point in the movie, they find a way to transfer information via dolphin.
Right.
So dolphins become a big plot of this movie.
They become...
And they give them weird headgear.
So dolphins were like flashcards?
Kinda. Okay. Actually, yeah, kinda.
Yeah.
And the only ever noteworthy thing in that movie is maybe one of the most underrated weapons in cinema history.
Yes.
There's a villain who has... it's a mix between piano wire and a lightsaber. So it's like he's got this piano wire that he'll whip out to like choke guys with and like whip around. But it's like glowing red like a lightsaber.
Fantastic.
And he could like, you know, slice people's heads off with it instantaneously. Like, mm-hmm. I'm shocked this has not popped up anywhere else. And then hackers, the only thing
hackers
you need to know,
I remember.
The
yeah.
only thing you need to know about hackers is when I was in college.
Yes.
I took a course on basically like the emerging internet. Was like the theme.
Sure, okay.
Because it was like the mid to late 90s.
And they showed you hackers.
My professor showed us hackers.
Okay.
And then the movie ended. There's a lot of silence. And then he takes a big sigh and he goes, I'm going to be honest with all of you. I picked that up at Blockbuster last night, and it looked like it was going to be some kind of documentary on hacking culture.
I like that he let the whole movie go, though, before.
And apparently I was wrong, and I apologize. Next class, we're going to make up for it. So he made us watch all of Hackers before realizing that it was not, in fact, a documentary on hacking. He waited that entire movie. That movie has kids playing Wipeout on PS1.
Yeah.
They have a naked Angelina Jolie in that movie.
That's like her first movie or something, right?
Yeah.
Early, very early on. Matthew Lillard.
Matthew Lillard's in it. Johnny Lee Miller.
Where would he play? Like, what cable channels was this on? Was this like an HBO thing or like a
this
basic?
This was like HBO late night.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
And
yeah,
also
yeah.
like TBS late night.
Yeah, because it's edgy. It's about
but
the
like
future.
Those three movies combined are like a sub-genre of like 90s cable movie.
Yeah.
That you would see a lot of. You would see a lot of movies like those three. Like those three were probably like the tip of the bad CGI iceberg.
Yeah, yeah.
But below that iceberg were like a million and one like worst movies that would be on like ABC Saturday Night Movie of the Night.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, for those who don't know, was on at like 3 a.m. on Saturday nights.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, just emblematic of a certain type of cable classic.
Yeah, yeah. You kids, you don't understand asynchronous media. There was something different about asynchronous media. You kind of took what you can get.
Right.
But you also, sometimes that would introduce you to shit you would never. I mean, I'm in a place now where I rarely take chances, like wild chances.
Right.
Like I'll look for new things on the streaming, you know, and I'll go through them all. Let's go, you know, and I have them all: Paramount, fucking Netflix, Hulu, Disney, yeah. HBO. But I never just go, oh, this piece of shit, let me just watch this. I never do that.
Right.
And I could be missing out on something amazing.
That's why I kind of love the... I've talked this up for a while now. And maybe we'll talk about this in a different episode a little more. But there's an app called Pluto TV.
Yes.
Do you have it?
No, I just hear a lot about it.
It's... this is going to turning into a full-blown ad, but I don't care. basically, it's what cable used to be, but it's just a free app because they do ads.
Right.
And basically what it is... I'm showing it to Mike right now on my phone. Like, there's a whole Star Trek channel that just streams Star Trek all the time.
Oh, that's awesome.
They've got... Let me just lower the volume so it doesn't... You've got, like, a couple of... you got a whole, like, Dr. Phil channel. You've got a channel that I really love that I put on during the day called Nosy.
Uh-huh.
Where it's just, like right now it's playing an old Sally Jesse Raphael. But during the day, it'll play, like, Jerry Springer, Maury.
Oh, okay.
Then they've got, like, Nosy, Judge Nosy, where it's got, like, Divorce Court and Judge Judy.
That's awesome.
They've got all sorts of movie channels where, like, they've got, like, 70s Grindhouse classics. This is what cable used to be.
Right.
But, like, there's something really...
We're throwing back in a way.
It kind of is a throwback. Like, I was talking to someone on Twitter the other day, and we were both talking about how, like, we've been obsessed with watching the Game Show Network on here because they play a lot of... They're playing it right now. They play a lot of, like, Password and Supermarket Sweep.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, I've been watching with friends online, like, just streaming Supermarket Sweep.
That's awesome.
Like, watching that.
Cable. What a time.
Yeah.
What a time.
We're at a point now where we're throwing back to cable.
There's a lot of 90s going on right now in pop culture, and I think maybe it's time for a little 90s.
Maybe.
Vin, thank you so much for being here. This has been Cable Movie Classics.
Yeah, hopefully you'll go investigate some of these classics.
Yes.
Maybe watch one or two of them.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave us with kind of an honorable mention, but not, because I've actually never seen it. It's been on in the background of many nights in my life. This was on HBO, I think, every single night from 99 to 2003. It was called Jesus's Son, and I believe Jack Black was in it. Never watched it. I've seen it on mute many a time. Jesus's Son. Can't recommend it, but it was always on. Vin, thank you so much for being here. The great Vin Forte.
Yeah.
You could listen to him on Amelia Sparks Presents, Wrestle Rap, as well as Oddball.
Oddball.
Vincent, thank you so much. We end every episode by saying
go bye-bye.